My name is Lily Madwhip, and I have to murder my friend for a dead woman.
Make sure you check the air in the tires.
That's Jamal. He lives next door to me, and he's my second best friend. Though he thinks he's my first. I'm borrowing his bicycle to get across town to the Red Moon Hotel, where my third best friend Meredith is currently staying. It's a long story, so let me just get you up to speed. Meredith has a melted Barbie named Nathaniel that makes her able to burn things when she's angry. And I mean, like, burn things without matches. I burned things when I was angry, but they were old journals from second grade, and I used a magnifying glass in the heat from the sun. It took forever, but I managed to burn a hole right through them. That's beside the point. Meredith has to die. The ghost of a dead police officer named Officer Flowers told me this. It was backed up by my doll, Pasher. If I was someone else, this would sound crazy to me. So I'm not telling Jamal why he's loaning me his bicycle. He thinks it's because Meredith is in danger from a man who looks very weasel-like, who happened to assault my dad, kidnap me, crash our car leaving my dad in a coma, and try to turn Meredith into a supervillain. I guess that's more believable to Jamal. It's been 3 days since Officer Flowers told me I had to kill Meredith if I wanted her to help my dad come out of his coma. I've been going to school every day since then, just waiting for her to show up. I'm not sure how I would have killed her if she'd shown up. I was still working that out, but when I'm around Meredith, the things I say tend to come true, so I could just tell her that she was going to accidentally stab herself with her pencil and boom. Except, that would be awful. Just thinking about it makes my tummy hurt. I don't want her to die. I've got to do this, though, as an act of vengeance for the Angel of Death, because Meredith killed Officer Flowers. On purpose, I think. Maybe by accident. Whatever the reason, Officer Flowers died and wants revenge, and now it's my job.
Lily?
Hey, Lily! Jamal snaps his fingers in front of my face. I was zoning out again.
You okay?
Yeah, I'll check the air in the tires. Meredith didn't show up for school. Not Wednesday, not Thursday, not Friday. I should have figured she wouldn't. I mean, I ended up with 2 broken ribs, trapped in a burning house, Meredith's house, and my dad in a coma, and I still went back to school the next day. But if I didn't have to kill Meredith, I'd probably have taken the rest of the week off. Instead, I spent those days gathering information about where she was. Obviously, she didn't go back to the home of her foster parents because it was all burned up and taped off by the police as a crime scene. So where did they go? Thankfully, the town isn't huge, so word gets around. According to Bob Sedgwick from the 6th grade, the Lakes, Meredith's foster parents, moved into the Red Moon Hotel just off the highway. He heard this from his dad, who works at the post office where Mr. Lake stopped by and asked them to forward his mail there until their house got repaired. Bobby told Tyler O'Neill because they always play kickball together, and Tyler told everybody else. Except me. I just happened to overhear 2 girls talking about it while I sat on the swings at morning recess on Thursday. They like Tyler a lot. He's popular because he's good at sports. I've packed my backpack for the trip. Flashlight in case I go someplace dark, check. A screwdriver for taking screws off things, check. They always gotta unscrew stuff in movies, especially in hotels. Hotel killing is like 90% crawling through air vents if movies are to be believed. 2 chocolate bars, check. Jamal gave me those. He said, take these, and I said, why? And he said, in case you get hungry. He's so nice. A knife in case things get desperate, check. Mom didn't see me stuff it in my sweatshirt sleeve at breakfast. It's kind of gross, because it had butter on it, and now my arm's all greasy. Extra socks? Check. You never know when you need extra socks. And, of course, there's Pasher, poking his head out of the top of my backpack. Check. I've also got a $20 bill I borrowed from Mom's purse this morning. She might not notice it's missing, because she usually carries a bunch of money for taking clients out to lunch. My mom is an executive. I asked her once what an executive does, and she said they execute people. And then she and Dad laughed. I wonder if they'd be laughing now, knowing that I'm following in her footsteps. Hey, Jamal? I say as I zip up my backpack and throw it over my shoulder.
Yeah?
Be careful going up your front steps, or you're going to trip and scrape your knee. I climb on his bike, but it's too high up, so I straddle the top tube. And thanks. For the bike and the chocolate. He grins at me.
I'll go back around and just avoid the stairs altogether.
Jamal always listens to me. Thursday night, I looked at a map to find the quickest way to get to the Red Moon Hotel, and then used the little scale thing at the top of the map to figure out how far away it was. Because it would take about a half an hour, I figured the best time to go would be Saturday morning while my mom was at her Pilates class. She's there right now, thinking I'm at home watching cartoons or up in my room painting a still life, not pedaling my way out of the neighborhood with only a vague sense of where I'm going and a backpack full of murder tools. She'd flip out if she knew I left the house, because the weasel-like guy Felix knows where I live and is still out there. She wouldn't have gone to Pilates class at all if I hadn't promised to keep all the doors locked and the cordless phone within reach. The ride across town is uneventful. I keep an eye out for cars following me. Felix is a nasty customer, as they say. He gets in your head, knows your secrets, and when me or Meredith are nearby, he somehow makes you think and act in ways that you wouldn't normally. I don't really understand it all. Neither does Pasher. But he admitted to me that the whole boost we get when we're around each other is an unexpected side effect. That's why it was decided by whoever makes decisions that those of us with totems should be kept away from each other. Pasher is my totem. Meredith's is her melted Barbie Nathaniel. Felix has a locket with a photo of his son in it. Supposedly, that's his totem for Raziel, the Angel of Secrets, but I haven't exactly gotten to talk to Raziel, so I can't be sure. A half-hour pedaling with 5 minutes break to eat chocolate is kind of boring, so I distract myself by singing. Going down to Cowtown, Cow's a friend to me, lives beneath the ocean, that's where I will be. I can only ever remember the chorus of that song. At least I know all the lyrics to Take On Me and Don't Stop Believing, so I switch to those tunes every now and then. The journey is made slightly more interesting by the fact that having Dumma with me makes me sense things differently. I can hear birds flapping their wings and see trails of what I guess are auras or something that people leave whenever they walk around. Things are a lot noisier with Dumma. Beneath the waves, it's where I will be. I wonder what Meredith is doing at the hotel. Maybe she's spending all her time in the pool. Would that cancel out her fire? Probably not. I'll bet she can keep the water nice and warm, though. Pools of hotels are always chilly. Hell, she could probably even stew people in it. Yikes! Note to self, stay out of the pool. Dumma asks me if he can teach me a new song. I tell him no, because I don't really like Dumma. He seems really snobby and isn't even really there. The badge attached to my shirt with the name of Ossifer Flowers Town is a ghost badge and I can't get rid of it. When I take my shirt off, it appears pinned to my skin, which really freaks me out. I can hear the cars on the highway well before I get close to it. Up ahead is the Red Moon Hotel. Whoever designed the sign for it was lazy because there's nothing indicating the big red circle is the moon except that the name of the hotel is the Red Moon Hotel. It could just as easily be the Red Circle Hotel or the Red O Hotel. Red Pizza Pie Hotel. Now I want a piece of pizza. We're gonna see the cow beneath the sea. We're gonna see the cow beneath the sea. I park Jamal's bike behind a dumpster and lock it to the railing. He told me his lock combination so the bike wouldn't get stolen. I think at this point, my mission should be one of stealth. The fewer people that know I was ever here, the better. There's an old man with a big white beard in the little office building where people check in. Pasher says his name is Rodolfo, and that sounds too much like the name of Santa's reindeer. Apparently, he's from Italy, and it's best I don't know what type of magazine he's reading. Apparently, he's from Italy, and it's best I don't know what type of magazine he's reading, but he is reading it and got his feet up on the desk, so he's not paying any attention to a little 9-year-old girl with her backpack creeping past his door. However, he's going to flip the page and check the clock in less than a minute, so I scoop by just before he does. It really helps to see things before they happen when you're trying not to be seen. Jeez, there's like 100 rooms here. Or 40. I guess 40 is a better estimate. I walk along the row of doors that look out towards the parking lot and the highway. Someone's watching television and there's a commercial on for heartburn relief. And someone else is taking a shower and using soap that smells like a punch in the face from a leprechaun. All the sounds and smells are making me want to plug my ears and nose. But the worst part is the sheer number of cockroach tippy taps I hear. Ugh, so many cockroaches! I hear every skittering sound they make with their little feet. I feel like if I got any more sensitive, I'd be reading their tiny brain thoughts. Do cockroaches even have thoughts? I imagine if I was a cockroach, all I'd think about was how gross I was. I pass room 34 and suddenly the air gets darker. There's smoke. Oh my god, the hotel is on fire! No, wait, that's just me. Oh my god, I'm on fire! Except there's no heat. Or flames. Oh. Oh! This is that black smoke that came off Officer Flowers. This is a sign. Meredith, I'm getting closer to her. I wonder if she'll be able to see this black smoke. Shoot, this is not stealthy at all. Just as I reach the next hotel room, the door to room 36 opens and Mrs. Lake, Meredith's foster mom, walks out. She doesn't seem to notice me and turns in the opposite direction, heading toward her car, I guess, leaving a trail of faint blue aura behind her. She's got keys with her, so she must be going somewhere. Moments later, I watch her drive off. Room 36. This is it. This is Meredith's room. I crouch down and drop my backpack. Gotta be quick. Can't think. In and out. Kill Meredith. Save Dad. I test the doorknob gently. Locked. Nobody's coming. The black smoke that's covering me is seeping under the door. I really hope she doesn't see it. I can hear her inside watching a cartoon. Pull out the screwdriver. Gotta take the doorknob off. I don't even know if that works. You know what? It doesn't matter, because I brought one of those screwdrivers with the cross thingy tip, and these screws use the flat kind. Great! Put the stupid screwdriver back and pull out the knife. Maybe I could jimmy the lock. I wonder who Jimmy was that they named breaking locks after him. I'll bet he was a burglar or something. Jimmy the cat burglar. Now I'm wondering why they call them cat burglars? The Hamburglar steals hamburgers, so a cat burglar must steal cats. But why? Maybe nobody would sell them cats anymore. After all, I imagine most pet stores in the area would have a photo of me with a sign that reads, "Do not sell to this customer." I'm in the middle of that thought when the door opens and Meredith is standing there. Lily? What are you doing? I'm kneeling in front of your hotel door with a butter knife. What does it look like? Meredith, hi. How did you know where I was? Did the angels tell you? She opens the door further. It's a really tiny hotel room. It looks like her foster parents sleep in separate beds, too. And Meredith has a sleeping bag on the floor. Oh, she's watching Bugs Bunny. No, actually, I heard it at school. I stand up and stuff the butter knife up my sleeve. She sees me do it, though, so it's kind of pointless. You haven't been coming to class, so I came to find you. I came to say sorry about your house burning down and your turtle dying. Are you watching Bugs Bunny? She nods. Yeah, do you want to come in? Sure. I grab my backpack and follow her into the tiny hotel room. There's clothes all over the beds. I can tell the difference between the clean clothes and the dirty clothes from the smells. It's really distracting. Dumma takes this moment to start singing. It startles me, but fortunately Meredith can't hear it and just looks away as I jump. Shall my soul ascend with rapture when the day of life is past? While my house of clay shall slumber, shall I then with Jesus rest? Oh my God, shut it, I snap at him. Meredith looks back at me. What? I clench up. The door, we should shut the door. It's not safe outside. Oh yeah, she shuts the door behind us. All right, I'm in. I've got to do this. How? What way would be the gentlest? I don't want her to suffer. I can't just say you're going to die because What if the manner is violent and painful? Maybe I tell her that she's going to die in her sleep? But even that could be painful if she chokes on her tongue or the TV falls on her head. We got Oreos if you want any. Oh, Oreos. Actually, I have a chocolate bar if you want a piece. Meredith smiles and sighs. I'm really glad you showed up. I've been so worried about you, and I miss school and you. Did I say I'm glad you're here? Yeah. Well, I am. If that Felix guy shows up, this time I'll burn him alive. Suddenly, she grabs me and squeezes me in a big hug. It hurts. Ow, ow, ribs, my ribs, I moan. Oh, sorry. She lets go. I rub my achy side. It's okay. I missed you too. How am I supposed to kill this girl? I can't do this. I shouldn't have come here. There's black smoke everywhere, too, and it's real annoying. I can feel it on my legs, this cold, oily feeling, and I want it to stop. But it's not going to until either Meredith is dead or I'm gone. Dumma starts bossing me around.
Tell her that she's going to die. Just be done with this.
Shut up, Dumma! Actually, Meredith? My brain is going haywire with all the sounds and smells, and I'm trying to see how she dies in my head, but all I see is this stupid black smoke. I would love some Oreos. Okay, me too. Mrs. Lake, my mom, went out to the store just like a minute ago. She'll be back, but if you want, we can watch cartoons and just hang out. Sounds good. The badge on my shirt flashes angrily.
If you won't get this done, I'll handle things,
Dumma says, and then the badge fades from my shirt. What does that mean? The cold oiliness leaves my legs, and I watch as the smoke that's all around my feet starts to move like water, gathering up beside me. In a moment, it seems to take on the form of a person, like I'm standing in front of a bright light and my shadow is projected on the air beside me. I stare at it, and it looks back at me. It is me! What the fuck, I start to say. The shadow steps past me toward Meredith, who's hunched over going through a grocery bag by the little fridge that comes with the room. I don't know how this works, but if she dies there, she's going to crush all the Oreos! The shadow's legs look like they're connected to mine, so I step back, dragging Dumma away from Meredith as he reaches for her. He turns.
Stop it,
he tells me.
Just let me do this so we can be done.
What the what? Meredith stands up and walks right through Dumma's shadow. I tense up, thinking she's going to turn to dust or drop straight dead or something, but instead she hands me Oreos like a good friend, smiles, and then goes to sit on the far bed. I can't take it anymore. I stick the Oreos in my pocket. Meredith! I have to be honest.
Okay?
She brushes her hair out of her milky eye and looks at me. Dumma's shadow drifts towards her. I feel like Peter Pan if Peter Pan's shadow was trying to murder all the lost boys. I take a deep breath. I have to tell you this fast because there's an angel who's seriously trying to kill you right now, but the lady in black who you killed in your home was after Felix, not you. And now her angry ghost has told me that if I kill you, she'll help my dad who's in a coma. And the real reason I came here was to... I can't say it outright. I'm such a terrible friend. To get my dad out of the coma. I try to grab the smokiness that I'm projecting and pull Dumma's shadow back like he's on a rope, but it does no good. My hands just go right through it. Instead, I step back, dragging him with me. He looks at me again, and I can tell he's glaring at me even if I can't see his face. Or her face, because it's my shadow. He looks just like my silhouette. What I just said is still sinking in with Meredith. Wait. You came here to kill me? I didn't want to. You're my best friend. Third best, really. I don't need to say that, though. Is the room getting hotter? I can see Meredith clenching her fists slightly, No. No, 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 no. That's not a good sign. No, no fire. No fire, Meredith. But I hold up my hands like maybe I can ward off her burning me alive. But I got a better idea because friends don't kill friends, right? Friends don't kill friends. Meredith nods. She unclenches her fists.
What are you doing, Lily?
Pasher asks. Pasher says that if you give me your Barbie, the one I told you that has an angel in it, I can use her to stop Felix.
No, don't do that. I never said that.
Meredith looks at her sleeping bag. Barbie? But... Dumbass Shadow lurches forward and his hands go right into Meredith's chest. Whatever she was about to say is cut off by her gasping out in pain. I leap back, banging against the door, but Dumma doesn't come with me. He's got his hand on her heart or something, and he's holding on rather than getting pulled with me. He's going to kill her. Stop! Dumma, stop! I yell. He ignores me. Meredith makes a choking sound and falls back on the bed, her arms flailing at her sides. I can't watch this happen. I need to do something. She looked over at her sleeping bag. Nathaniel and the melted Barbie must be in there. I run over to it. It's actually a really soft sleeping bag and got one of those built-in pillows. Fancy. The one we use in my family is like an heirloom, I think. Passed down from my dad's great-great-great-great-grandfather. Also, I think someone peed in it centuries ago and it didn't get washed for a long time after. There's always this smell. Never mind that. Nathaniel's right here in the bag. I grab him and he urgently declares, "Run!" So I do just that. I'm hoping that if I get far enough away... Out the hotel room door, into the parking lot, past several cars parked, and after a few more feet, the black smoke that was trailing off me like waterfall vanishes. From the open hotel door, I hear Meredith suddenly scream, followed by a loud crash. Other people poke their heads out of the rooms and start asking each other where it came from. I hear a couple different people dialing on their phones and calling for emergency services. Man, I can't go 10 minutes around Meredith without emergency services being called. It's ridiculous. Officer Flower's ghost badge reappears pinned to my shirt.
Do you have any idea what you have done?
I hear Dumma shouting. The badge isn't just shining with his words, it's glowing. It's like an oven burner when you set it to the highest temperature. I think if it weren't a ghost badge, it would be burning me. I ignore him and run without looking back. Rodolfo, the Italian hotel manager, comes hurrying out of his office and past me. Me? I finally snap at Dumma. What kind of angel tries to kill a little kid? I cut around the corner and back to Jamal's bicycle locked behind the dumpster.
The angel of death. You need to go back and finish this,
Pasher says grimly.
Carrying 3 totems is dangerous. You're attracting the wrong sort of attention. Samuel,
I'm not going to kill Meredith, I hiss at all the voices. They're distracting me too much, making it hard to remember Jamal's bike lock combination. I'm going to kill Felix.
Felix Clay is only in town because of Meredith. Without her totem, he will have no reason to not take out his revenge on her for what he perceives as the murder of his son. With her totem, she will continue to pose a threat by being near you.
You're talking too much. I can't think.
You are making things worse.
I pound my fist on the bike seat. I didn't ask for any of this! I can see heat building through my fingers. They all go quiet. Thank God. I'm able to think and focus on the combination. Once it's off, I hop back on Jamal's bike and start pedaling toward home. Along the way, an ambulance drives by. Its lights aren't flashing, which I hope is a good sign that I managed to keep Dumma away from killing Meredith. I'm sorry, Meredith. I'm so angry at Dumma. I scream at the top of my lungs. Some kids playing in their front yard look at me like I'm crazy. Maybe I am crazy.
Lily?
Pasher says. What do you want? I don't want to talk to Pasher. I don't want to talk to Nathaniel either, and I especially don't want to talk to Dumma.
You need to go back to the motel.
I told you, I'm not going back! I'm not killing one of the only 2 people in this world who's really my friend! You angels are screw-ups. You made a mistake, and now you're putting all of this on me to fix your screw-up. And, well, that's not very grown-up!
You need to turn around right now.
I'm not killing Meredith! Dumla speaks next. I grit my teeth because his snobby voice just boils my blood, and the padding on the handlebars of Jamal's bike is starting to smolder. I can sense the heat building up in my hands, even though it doesn't hurt. It's red hot like the rage in my head.
Lily? Lily,
Dumla says.
We won't ask you to kill Meredith, and I should never have tried to do it myself. You must go back to the hotel, though.
I slow my pedaling. What for? I snarl.
Look behind you.
I pull the bicycle over and look back. The two kids who watched me scream as I rode past are jumping up and down, shouting and pointing. Who wouldn't? There's a tree in an adjoining yard, and the whole thing is up in flames. Burning branches are collapsing under their own weight. It's a roaring inferno. What just happened? I whisper. Pasher answers.
Felix Clay just drove by in a stolen ambulance.
Shit.